What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today we have a returning guest. Sherry, thank you so much for returning to the podcast.
Again, thank you for having me. I couldn't stay away, obviously. So 100%. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm going to throw you right into the riddles. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you bracing for impact? Okay.
I literally right now am bracing for impact.
Okay. Simple. I feel like these are simple. I feel like, you know, you may have heard this before if you listen to any of the other episodes.
So it's like a quiz. Light work. We got this. Nothing.
All right. What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man couldn't hold it for more than a minute?
What is as light as a feather, but even the world's strongest man couldn't hold it for a minute? Goodness. That's a good... Okay, the sky?
I feel like the sky weighs something.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't know. Light as a feather. Okay, so it can be held. Or is it pee? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Good answer, but not quite.
Okay, I give up.
Breath, air.
Oh my god!
Like, you're kind of close.
I was closer with the first one.
Yep, so it's light, but no matter how strong you are, you can't hold it.
Hold it.
You know? All right. Okay. What is so delicate that saying its name breaks it?
Is it silence?
Girl, you heard this one before.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah? I got that one.
That's the answer.
Okay. See, I knew.
If a blue house is made out of blue bricks, and a yellow house is made out of yellow bricks, and a pink house is made of pink bricks, what is a greenhouse made of?
Glass. Ha! Greenhouse. Like a plant greenhouse is made out of glass.
All right, you got that one.
Is that the answer?
You got the answer.
Kind of myself. Right? Girl, I love plants, so I would have been very embarrassed to get that one wrong.
Okay. How do you make the number one disappear? Yeah. How do you make the number one, O-N-E? How do you make it disappear?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this one's stumping me. You subtract one? Girl, I'm like, this is math now.
No, what's happening? It's not math. It's a word problem.
Okay.
How do you make the number one, O-N-E, disappear?
Disappear. Mm-hmm. Would you add the letter N at the beginning of the word one so that it's none?
Or... You know, that is very, very close. Just think of another letter.
What is it? Oh my gosh.
Gone. Add a G to it and it's gone. These are lame, I know.
No. I should know better. It's me. Your riddles are not lame.
All right, let's try one more.
All right.
What starts with the letter T is filled with T and ends in T?
Starts with the letter T, filled with T, and ends with T. A teapot?
A teapot. You got that
one.
Yeah.
Okay. See? I know something.
You know? Now I kind of want to really throw you, man. Now I'm like, which one can I ask? Final this time. If I have it, I don't share it. If I share it, I don't have it. What is it?
If I have it, I don't share it. If I share it, I have it?
I don't have it.
My thoughts?
No, you still have your thoughts.
I don't know. I'm getting too intellectual with some of these. I'm like, wait a minute.
You know, that's the thing, right? Like, you want to kind of think too strong, too deeply, but it's
too
really
deep-y.
Sometimes really
it's more simple than that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Money?
Not money.
This is
confused. The answer is secret.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So if you had said tell it, then that would have given it away. But I'm glad you said share.
Oh, I said something else, right?
Yeah, you said share.
I said
and
share.
And that's why I was like, yeah. But that was a clever way of saying it, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known. That was awesome.
Awesome.
I love riddles. So that was incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for, you know, this back and forth. I really appreciate it. And now that the ice is broken, right? Can we get into the topic? It's broken.
Let's get into it.
So today we're talking about the pressures of life, the pressures that we endure, pressures, timelines from society, from family, from social media, and how we as humans tend to kind of navigate that, especially with adulting, where you kind of have to figure out your life and the direction you want to take, and you know, what's for you, what isn't for you. And by the time you see other people, like, you know, someone just bought a house, someone just had three kids, someone just got married, and someone, and then you're looking at yourself like, bro, I'm still, you know, and then you have the tendency to compare. What do you have to say about that, your experience with that?
What do I have to say? What don't I have to say, I guess, is more the question. So I guess to get into my own personal journey experience, what led us to having this conversation now. Mm-hmm. For me now, I can look back and say in hindsight, like, I'm grateful for my experience. But in the moment, in that time, I experienced a lot of, I guess, eye-opening things that kind of I didn't realize about myself prior. So essentially, to start from the beginning, I was working a full-time job at, what, how old was I? 22, 23? You know, I was like, I'm ahead of most people my age. I'm feeling so good about this. And I had quite, like, a remarkable position for someone my age. And to maintain that required a lot for me time-wise. I was full-time, 40 hours a week, plus another 20 hours of volunteer on top of that. So when I saw my husband and I saw my bed, it was like, brief. And then we go and do the same thing tomorrow. But I was passionate about what I did. And I wanted to see it work and see it work well. Despite the fact that I had been wearing like 3 or 4 different hats, just due to like a lack of funding for the ability to be able to hire more people, I assumed those roles. And I handled myself quite well in the beginning, but as things progressed, as time progressed, as, you know, COVID hit and happened, I realized how much of myself I was letting go in that process, letting go of in that process. And so I let my career, my work, my job kind of become my identity and kind of become how I saw myself in terms of my worth and my value. So therefore, if I wasn't doing well at what I had, you know, written up in my resume about who I was and how I performed, then I wasn't doing well at all. Like, I'd be falling behind. And that was just a mentality thing. Fast forward to maybe 4 and a half years into that position of employment, that career journey in my life, I resigned. And it took me a long time to actually settle with the fact that I needed to do that for me. There were a few factors. Health issues were a concern. I wasn't realizing just more and more that I was unhappy with where I was in life. And I wanted to start a family at that time. I truly believed that something I desired was to be able to be at home with my kids. And that's not for everyone, but that's when we decided as husband and wife that that's what we wanted. And we took the steps to kind of work towards that. So it took me 2 years from the point where I decided I wanted that to the point where I actually gave in my resignation. And I feel like there was that much hesitation, partially because of what it might look like, you know, to step away from something that in reality I should be super grateful for. You know, deep down you believe, you know, no one would ever say this out loud, but deep down what happened is, for myself, I believe that I owed it to my employers to put in the hours, to put in the hard work, to put in all of that in spite of myself, because I'm like, oh, that comes later. Like, I'll go home today, I'll rest, and then come back tomorrow and do this again. Anyways, enough of that happened and brought me to a point where I had to look quite seriously at myself and my life and my health and all the things that I realized also mattered, but I wasn't giving any attention to. And that culminated in me giving a 4-month notice, which was very generous. But it was needed in order to be able to replace me. Like, that was how much I was carrying at that time in my life. Yeah. At that stage, it had been 4 years when I officially left. And it was one of the most terrifying things I could have ever done, because I was face to face with the decision that I had made. And I felt like it just felt so irresponsible to walk away from all of that, not knowing like what the official plan is. Yes, exactly. With just so much uncertainty. And then also just feeling like you didn't have like an answer to give someone when they're asking you things like, oh, so what are you doing now? And you're looking at them like,
I'm alive.
I'm going to get back to you on that. Yeah. And so, I mean, I was pretty hard on myself. I won't lie. Like, I have come to realize now where I am in life, my true worth and my true value and who I am as an individual and how to prioritize that. And not necessarily saying that that holds much more of an importance in life than a career does or anything like that. But it does need to come first, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. So that's like super general, vague description of all that happened to bring me to this point where I am now. But yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
Yes, no, of course it does. The pressures are real, you know. And well, that's the thing. Like, I don't have a husband to think about. I don't have kids to think about. I'm just it's just me, and I'm like, bruh, how do people that have kids do this? Like, what is adulting like for people that have a partner? There are days where I don't want to talk to another soul. How do y'all do it? You know,
barely. Like, you know, we barely do it.
And like, every human being has that moment, that point in time where you're just like, I just want to escape from the world for a day or a weekend and just like binge mindless TV, snack as much as I'd like, and maybe not even shower, just be in my bed and just be like a zombie
in my
and just recharge somehow. And then okay, now you're ready to go again, now you're ready to, you know, be a person, be a sister, be a wife, be a, you know, all the things you're required to be in the world. But you know, like, there's just that thing, like, you spoke so well about it, and you know, thank you for sharing your own journey with that, where it's like the pressures. And for me, like, I have I'm an artist, so I've never had like a stable job that I've been at for a while. Like, I've had day jobs, but in and out, because if a project needs me to be out of town, I'm going out of town. I'm not saying no because of somebody else's business, you know. But I still have those moments where it's like, okay, Sarah, so after this one that you're designing in this place, what is your next? What are you doing? And sometimes I don't always have all the answers. Like, I don't always have a straight answer. And I'm like, bro, I'm thinking about it. I'm stressing about it. Talking about it more will stress me out even more, you know. And just that idea. And okay, now Auntie, you're a young fine lady. Where is Mr. Right? You know. And pressures of that, like you talked about, like even with housing, you're buying a house. Like, you're a young lady. Why are you not yet married? Where is your fiance? Where is your ring? You know, you have to start answering all those questions from like people. It's so interesting how, you know, like, nobody wants to really know what's going on out there in the dating abyss. It's just, where's your own? And it almost seems like it's better to be in a bad situation, like a bad relationship, a bad marriage, than to be single. And so I understand why a lot of people out of desperation are just like, you know what? I'll just be married for the sake of it. Like, there's some people that, like, I'll be married to the next person that asks. If it's horrible, I'll divorce just to say I've done it. You know what I mean?
Don't do it.
Just to say I've done it. Just to say I've been married. It didn't work out. Leave me alone, you know? Just to be able to say that. There are people that are that willingly, with their eyes open, enter a horrible situation. After 6 months or a year or 2 years, they're like, I tried it. Did not work out for me. I'm out of here.
Setting themselves up for failure. That's so,
you know, just knowingly, because it's better to be in it or to have done it and it not work out than for you to like have no clue and not even, you know, not at all, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's so, it's just really like those timelines and pressure, and it doesn't even end. It's not in just one way too. It's like in career, in dating and marriage and relationships. And by the time you have that, now where are the kids? Anytime I want to give my mom a bit of a jump scare, I just tell her. Anytime I want to give my mom a bit of a jump scare, there's no man right now, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to have that. And she's like, my friend, will you?
I have a friend whose daughter is like 12 years old right now. She'll say that. Mm-hmm. She'll say that to her mom every once in a while. Her mom's Nigerian and Jamaican. Mm-hmm. So she'll be like, Mom, I don't think I'm going to have kids. And this is my friend of mine. She says, don't curse my womb. You better not curse my womb. She's like, I'm going to see my grandchildren.
Don't curse my womb is crazy. That is like, don't say wow. My mom is just like, because I think she's used to me by now, where sometimes I just want to feel like raising her BP for no reason, or just carrying her, or just like kind of, anyway, just, you know, add spice, you know? Add spice.
I mean, if they're going to bother you with questions, you can bother them with the spice. You can bother them they with can handle the answers.
But, you know, like, thankfully, my mom is at a place now where she kind of is aware of what has been going on in the dating world and what is what the reality is, both from my experiences and that of my friends and people around me that she has seen. And she's like, yo, well, it's not how it was in my time, you know, and you know, she has a better understanding. So she doesn't put pressure on me at all. Thankfully, she just we should just have children. That's her own. Just give her grandchildren at some point. Like, she's ready. She's more than
ready. Like, just kids. Babies. But
yeah. But the pressure, where I mostly get that from is from other people. Like, other relatives or other, like, know, other Nigerian folks. You just go to a place and you're like, oh, you're Nigerian. How are you? Are you married?
Immediately.
No? Why?
Excuse me?
Why? What do you mean by why?
Asking me why, like, we have some sort of relationship.
Yeah, here. Yeah, truly. Like, people really do have the audacity. Or, you had your way, though. Are you sure man will want to marry you like this?
Oh, my goodness.
What? Like,
please take several seats.
Like, let the ground open and let me just descend. Like, it really, like, there are people like that. There, especially other Africans, or you say, oh, yeah, a fellow Nigerian or a fellow Ghanaian or a fellow whatever. There just seems to be that sense of familiarity.
It's so funny because it's like,
can I breathe?
You don't, hello? Like, honestly, breathe. Or even, like, it's not like I don't see that. Like, why are you telling me? You know, why are you not blank? It's like, do you want me to sit you down and talk to you for 45 minutes as to why, give you my real answer? If not, don't ask. Like, if you cared, you would be involved in my life, helping me to pursue these things. But you don't, so it's really none of your business.
And just finding nicer, but then you're African, so you have to be polite and respectful and this and that. And there are people that are even pushing against that now, where it's like, if an older person disrespects me, why is it my responsibility to then be respectful? Like, there are people that push against that. Me, I'm just like, bro, I will not see you again in the next how long? Let's
that's
just
the other thing.
You know, there's no reason for me to be impolite. I just understand the generation they're coming from. And, you know, I just kind of, I'm like, when it happens, it happens. You know, like, just kind of give generic answers like that.
Like, water off the duck's back.
Yeah, because you can't let it get to you, man. Like,
it's true.
If it does, but then again, like, from those people, whether or not you express it to them, it kind of sits in you somehow, right? You know, it kind of sits in you. It's kind of like, oh, shit, is there something wrong with me? Like, Lord God, descend.
Girl, for real.
You know, and and you know, then there's that sense of what, you know, you start to overanalyze and overthink and and even with work, like you were saying, that sense of like, I have to constantly like produce. We were messaging about this. I sent How yes. this episode even came about was
yes.
I reposted a post by Toni Tones, who is a British Nigerian incredible author, like influencer yeah. doing her thing. The post said, the pressure that comes with the made up timelines and deadlines, people want you to govern your life according to what everyone else has done or is doing. You won't find peace until you stop caring about the backlash that comes with doing things in your own terms.
Yes.
And on your own time. And like that, you saw that post and then you responded and it was just yeah. this kind of back and forth. And I'm like, would you like to come on the podcast? Can we talk about
right?
this?
Exactly.
Because like, I feel like everyone can relate to it in some way. And that we're just literally chatting. Like, I don't really have any questions prepared. We're just like right. having this back and forth about
just
it.
And you have sit down, chit chat. Yeah.
Yeah. And you had some really, really incredible points. Would you mind like kind of saying some of the things you said in the text message about like your thoughts on the
yeah.
post?
Absolutely. So in response to your post, I just realized that I have a lot of, I guess, passion in regards to sharing my thoughts surrounding the whole ideals of life and what I guess the typical expectations are for young people our age, moving through life at whatever point we are at, like generally speaking, societally speaking, there's a lot of pressure. And then I even went as far as to say, like, some of that pressure, even though it can be instilled from the outside, and you will meet people, the aunties, uncles, your elders, who have questions about where you are and how you're doing. Because they, you know, deep down they may care, but and other times they're just being nosy, you know,
yeah,
just for the
really.
Sake of
That's
being
really,
nosy.
It's the gossip, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I do believe that a majority of us, when it comes to just pressures and life in general, it's self-imposed. You don't realize that in regards to where we see ourselves in life and the timeline of how things should be happening, just in comparison to literally anyone else and where they're at in life, we are the ones saying, oh, well, I'm not this yet. I haven't reached this yet. This is a goal of mine within this year, and I'm still not there yet. There's a lot of internal dialogue that I feel like not for everyone. Some people have moved past this in their lives and are working at a capacity where they're able to, you know, do really well at with their self-talk. But generally speaking, for people who are in it and being bombarded usually a lot with like the realization of they're not quite where they want to be, it's the self-talk is mostly surrounding the idea that I'm not enough, or, you know, like I'm not where I want to be. So therefore I cannot be enough to come and, you know, show up as enough, which is such a lie. Not something that I feel like we should carry on our shoulders as a burden, because reality is we're all figuring it out. We're all on this massive spectrum of understanding and realizing who we are. And that means we need to be a lot nicer with ourselves, and to give ourselves grace in the process and the journey, because it may not look like how it looked like for this person. Mm-hmm. But for instance, we even touched on the whole social media aspect of it all, where you're only seeing the highlights, the highlight reels, the highlight post stories of yeah. all of these wins in people's lives. You know, when you do see a house bought, car bought, baby had, you don't know. You could never know unless they shared with you every detail of their success story or their testimony. We can't know what it took them from point A to where they are now to achieve those things, which I truly feel like people should be more transparent about their experiences, to give a more realistic worldview, to show people and help them understand that yes, all these things are great and it's wonderful to want to attain them, but understand that that requires hard work, it requires intentionality, and to make it easier on yourself, it requires you to take a step back and say, I don't yet need to necessarily have full control of everything all the time. And for myself, as a recovering perfectionist, that is something I had to unlearn very, I guess the hard way is what I'll say.
Because like a lot of times it feels like ordinarily, like it kind of feels like society, everyone else is telling you, well, by this age you should be this, by this age you should have this, by this age you should already be this, this, you should be able to send money to every single person, you should be able to
always the money,
all these things. Yeah, money's involved always, you know. You're done with school, what is next? After high school, what is next? University, after university, what is next? Master's, after master's, what's next? You get married, after you get married, what is next? You have kids, what's after next? You have, you know, like it just goes back, like back,
when do
back,
we breathe back,
you know, where yeah. Where is the spot where we take a break and celebrate where that. We're coming from, all the things that we've already achieved.
Yes,
there's that overachieving streak that we have, and you know, your parents have told for you, they have worked so hard, they've done this and done that. Now you have to show that all their work is not in vain. You have to be the best possible, bestest, best that you can possibly be. Like you talked about, at a very young age, you got this incredible position. Even just taking a moment to be like, you know what? A round of applause, man. Let me tap my back real quick. Exactly. You know, like I think it's become self-imposed because the pressures have been internalized.
Yeah.
Because the pressures have been internalized from society, from family, from social media, from everywhere else. Now you've internalized all these things, and you're like, well, everybody else is doing it. And you know, like the saying goes, comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah. You're not able to find joy in your own lane, on your own journey. Now you're like, well, this person has more than that. This person has this job and this job position. This person has this car. You know, and you start to belittle what you do have, which I mean, at some point you probably prayed for, right? And it just is like this whole never ending circle, because like it's always going to be about the next thing, and it's always going to be about what you don't have, or where you're not yet versus exactly. where you are, right?
Yes, yeah, that's so good. And it's so important that you mention that, because the whole achieving thing, the overachieving thing, is massive. Like, you're right, in certain cultural groups, like, yes, as an African, I can say, and as a firstborn, I can say that the whole overachieving
firstborn, I didn't even talk about that.
Girl. Yeah. it felt like my sole responsibility to represent my family well. Especially coming from a home that, you know, my parents separated from a young age. So when I got married, I was the first of all of my cousins in North America, since we all moved, to get married. And the way people came out of the woodworks for that, it just showed me something about, you know, the importance of tradition and culture for African societies and members in general, and how much it matters to them and the people around them and the community about what it looks like, how it looks like to, you know, have kids who are doing things the right way, they're achieving and overachieving well. Like, so you get that pressure, that added sense of, if I'm not on top of my game here, if I'm not a goal-oriented individual, I'm falling behind, I'm slacking, I'm an embarrassment to my community, in a sense. And so that kind of pressure, imagine walking around with that on your shoulders and pretending like everything's good, when in reality.
Yeah.
That kind of thing can really wear you on you, and it can taint your experiences, like you said, when in certain instances you should be celebrating. You should be saying, wow, like, look how far I've come, what I've had to overcome to get to this place that I'm in right now, presently experiencing, despite where, you know, I still have to go. And I guess to support that notion as well, is understanding that life is so fragile, and the term arriving to a certain destination of achievement, I think, should be very loosely, carefully, given to achievement in general, because I don't believe, even though we can have goals and aspirations in life, I don't believe we ever officially arrive, because there's always going to be somewhere else to go. Yeah. There's always movement forward, up, or even, you know, like, God forbid, the disaster strikes and movement backwards or, you know, behind. So things can change. We don't have control over every outcome all the time. Just recognizing that there's beauty in that balance and understanding there's grace for life to take place, and you being an experiencer of that life to give yourself the grace, right, as well, to celebrate your achievements, even if they're small, because life's too short to just go from achievement to achievement to achievement and not recognize like how far you've been coming. So that in itself, I think, is something that I would say, please, guys, if you haven't, pause, recognize the things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think is so vital is to just give yourself the opportunity to fail, because sometimes that happens. Sometimes you go for something and you hope for the best outcome, and that doesn't always occur. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are falling behind or you're lacking experience. Or, you know, in some cases it might mean that, whatever, like a skill set needs to be fine-tuned or whatever. But in most cases, you're just being too hard on yourself, and you need to stop that. Achieving is great, and overachieving even better. But I honestly believe that it also matters what's going on in here.
Yes.
In your heart and mentally speaking as well. Like, both those things need to be considered in decision making, because people will come and go. People will say what they want to say, ask the kind of questions they want to ask, to, you know, take like a litmus test of how you're doing, when all the while they aren't doing so well in their own life, really, too. Like, yeah. Let's be real, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like, believe social media at your own risk, because,
know. At your own, they should say that. Is,
right? At your own risk.
When you open
right?
the app, Instagram, at your own risk.
Word. Like, I feel like there should be that disclaimer. I mean, like, I feel like the industry, yeah. I mean, it kind of feeds off of that, too, right? It just creates the illusion that everyone woke up like this. I woke up like this,
right?
You know, like, it just crazy with all the, you know, the filters and all the things. Like, it just looks like, oh, there was no background work. I just, you know, snap my finger, I have this car. You don't even know who is doing it for real, who actually owns the car versus who is renting it, or maybe you got repossessed last week, or, you know, you don't really see the behind the scenes. You don't know what the truth of the matter is, right? You don't know. Like, there are people that go broke, go into debt, destroy their credit trying to flex for the gram. I love that list that you were compiling. Like, the first one is celebrate your wins, and what was the second one, which I think that was achieving is
to allow yourself to make mistakes. Yeah, allow yourself to fail.
If I were to add to that list, redefine what success is for you, because it can't be what society is saying, because your path is your path. It's not nobody else's. Like, your lane is your lane. Nobody else has your timeline. There's no late or earliness in anything, really. Exactly. Like, you go to school when you go to school. You get married when you get married. You buy your car when you buy your car. You have a child when you have a child. There's no metric, really, right? Because your life is your life. You cannot compare your life to anyone else's, because the experiences you've had are very, very tailored and specific to you. Nobody else knows. Nobody else has been through the grinder that you have been through, you know? And so comparing really is the thief of joy, but it also is a lie.
It's a lie.
Like, apart from it being like a thief of joy, it is a lie, because you know no one else's reality more, you know, as much as you know yours. You know your failures, you know your you know, successes, you know all you've been through to get to this point. And so, you know, just trusting, kind of like you said, you don't have control, but what you do have control of, you can actually, you know, take control of what you do have control of, and the rest of it, just release it. And this is something, girl, I'm telling you, I'm on my way. I'm not quite there yet. So, yes, that's a big part of of kind of coming out of that. Like you said, recovering perfectionist. I wouldn't term myself a perfectionist, but I'm certainly someone who I overthink quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so in that overthinking, I kind of think myself into a rut where I'm like, oh. Then I, you know, then I have, I'm like, oh, I have all these things to do. I want to get to all these places and I want to do all these things. And how am I going to get there? Right. And I allow those like timelines and pressures to kind of come in. And so I'm on the journey, you know, I'm on the journey.
We
I'm
not all quite, are. Huh?
Yeah.
Girl, I'm quite, right there with you.
Yeah. I'm not quite there where it's like, oh, nothing phases me. No, things phase me.
And that's like the human experience, right? Mm-hmm. We're always going to continually be combating these beliefs and idealism and all of that stuff, just the infrastructure of where we've been raised and the families we've grown up into and just the things that we have surrounding us daily, constantly, right? They're gonna make you question, you know, they're gonna make you think, you know, overthink sometimes. I am also guilty of that. And in my past, I would overthink myself into a place of depression almost, right? Like, let's be real, call it what it is. Like, you can do that to yourself without even recognizing that it's, again, a self-imposed thing. But I really love what you said about the rest thing. Just go back and just briefly touch on that. I am currently just coming out of a 2.5 period of rest. What was only meant to be 1 year grew itself into how long it's been now. And now finally, you know, fully tiptoeing my way back into the career world. But I had to, because, I mean, you probably have heard this theory or theology before, but like, if you do not take the time to rest, then your body will make you force you to, right?
Force you to take that break. Yeah.
That part. And so if I'm going to get a little bit personal and sharing this, I personally realized that my body was setting off all the alarm systems, but I wasn't listening. I had deadlines. I had a job to do. I had a career to uphold, you know, a marriage to pour into, a family to kind of look after as well. So having stepped away from work and now then realizing, because again, we were trying for children and have been still without anything that's stuck yet. But the rude awakening is, honey, your hormones are all out of whack and you didn't even know it, right? Like, and then it's like, okay, well, okay, what's the next thing? Let's go to the doctor, you know, get on supplements, change our nutrition, like work out. And so we've built up this lifestyle that's actually really beautiful since having discovered all of that. But just to feel like for myself, like, wow, like I let it get that far without even recognizing the warning signs prior to be able to be like, oh, okay, like, let me just sit down, like, let me just delegate or, you know, suggest that, turn down this task that I've been asked to do. Like, there was none of that for me because, again, I just held my worth and my value so high in what I was able to achieve. I didn't want to be the person to be like, oh, well, I'm tired. Oh, you know, this hurts. Like, no, girl, like, suck it up. Big girls, don't cry. Like, suck it up and keep moving. Because of that hustle mentality, that grind mentality. And, like, even though, you know, I could have been taking more, a better, I guess, approach to understanding from a healthy perspective that it's okay to say no to certain things, I was living from a perspective of a people pleaser mindset as well as an overachiever mindset. So with those two filters on my life,
that's a killer combo,
girl. It was, and it's taken me this long to heal from that and to turn away and walk and say, you know, I don't want that for me. And to take the steps that were necessary to allow myself to be like, okay, it's okay to let go. It's okay to not have control. It's okay that if I say no to this, I might look like this to someone, or, you know what I mean? Like, someone may assume a certain thing about me, but understanding, like, my health and my well-being has to come first, so that I am able to, when I do say yes, give from a better place, like a better quality of me, right? Like a better version of who I actually can produce from, as opposed to giving from bare minimum at some point throughout that time of my life. So yeah, resting. If you can find a way to do it that you can work into your routine and just make that a habit, make it a habit to look after yourself, and yes, go to the gym. You don't have to like push it every time, but like even just to release things, right? Release the burdens of daily life. Release that emotional load that we don't even know we're carrying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just, again, to reflect on what you said, the third point. What success looks like to you.
That's, I think number four would be the rest. I was going to say, you touched on something earlier that absolutely incredible. The sense that that you're a representation of your family. Mm-hmm. Like that right there.
Yes.
It's so real. And in a previous episode with Miss Shula, who's the
title of
the
episode, that was such
a mother's perspective. And she talked about it. Like, even amongst parents, there is a sense of peer pressure. Like, they want to be able to brag on their kids and say, because their kids are a reflection of their own worth as mothers. And that, when she said that, that made so much sense. Something else you said earlier is like, we attach our sense of worth to what we do versus who we are.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a Christian, right? So like a lot of my own identity personally comes from who God says that I am.
Yes.
And whatever that is to whoever is listening, right? Hold on to that. Like your work cannot be all that defines who you are. And that is so much easier said than done.
Easier said than done, y'all.
So much easier said than done. Yes. 'Cause you're right. Like when they ask you, what do you do? Oh, I'm a doctor. You know, like there's prestige in saying that. Oh, I work in the finance industry. I'm in tech. I'm in this and I'm in that. I'm in the arts. So to say I'm an artist, a lot of people be like, okay, what's your real job? What do you actually do?
Can you please? Like, that was my answer. That's it.
Like, I think that's a really, really good point too. Of just, your words cannot be attached to the works of your hands. There's prestige in that. It cannot just be all that determines your worth. There is a lot of honor in having something that you do. You do honorable work, you do decent work, you do legal work, like 100%, stand 10 toes in that. But it just cannot be all that dictates your worth. Because what if you get laid off tomorrow? Or what if another pandemic happens? God forbid! But, you know, like, it's a real thing, and it's a real thing people need to discover and find out for themselves, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And in my heart, I think it's just important to recognize, outside of like having something define who you are, because I myself am also a Christian, also important that even people in those realms of their faith, just to recognize that it's okay to say, I need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have healthy boundaries. It's okay to recognize that within yourself and say, this doesn't work for me, and try something else. You will, if you are not careful, lose yourself in the process of achievements. Mm-hmm. Because then that, like you said, becomes the definition of who you are if you're not careful. And then when it's lost, then what are you?
Yeah.
So yeah, I resonate very deeply with all that you said, but just to highlight and pinpoint having healthy boundaries as a very clever asset to obtain and to learn how to use in your favor, just so that you're able to walk into a room and know exactly what your purpose is and outline that yourself. And so if someone is saying, well, why haven't you done this? Or why are you not here yet with your life? To be able to answer them from a place of health and your own, you know, understanding of who you are mm-hmm. is such a flex, you know, yeah. to be able to say, I'm actually taking a rest from that right now to prioritize my well-being. And when I am ready, I will pick that back up again, or, you know, even decide to go in a different direction. That is not a failure. That is a win. That is the type of strategy that gets you to where you're headed much quicker than it would to just go down all these paths and try to figure it out. When you can just take some time to sit down with yourself, rest, and again, redefine that success. And the recharge part too.
And you also said a few things which I just think are absolutely remarkable, like have a very strong sense of boundaries and be able to say yes or no.
Yeah.
Two things, like, yeah, you know, like saying no is a powerful word. It's a full statement. Just say no, you know, and sometimes it's just that sense of, oh, well, if I say no, when will the next one come? And if I say no, what, you know, and there's all these fears and worries. But I think that, like it's been established earlier, you said this earlier, like, you don't really have control, right? But this is where you are right now, and you know that taking this thing, whatever it is, whether it's an offer, a position, whatever, will only, like, slow you down or hold you back or affect your mental health. Mental health, like, that's incredibly important. Mental health, physical health, like, your wellness, like, you know, just preserving that. When now you're taking medication for anxiety, something you never had before. It's not in your family, but now you're dealing with it because you've just allowed the pressures of the world. You've internalized it to a point where you're applying that pressure into yourself. And, you know, now you feel helpless and stuck. You know, that's a very huge one as well. Okay. Yes. Mistakes are okay. Redefine success, rest and recharge. Have healthy boundaries, have a strong sense of who you are and your identity.
Yeah.
Like, snap.
We've
put together a list of, you know, how to kind of combat the pressures and timelines that, you know, get imposed on us from people, the world, loved ones, even from a place of true, like, wanting the best for you. You know, it's just not helping you personally at that point in time, right? And the sense that you have to constantly be producing to be relevant or to be important or to be validated, you know, is also one that I kind of sort of struggle with a little bit, especially as an artist, right? You feel like you constantly have to make art to be relevant in your craft, or to feel like, okay, I can say I'm an artist because I'm actively making art. I can say I'm a filmmaker because I'm actively making films. I can say, you know, and just that thing of permission and validation, where it's, I mean, there's some, it holds water, but like in a basket. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's, it's not very, it's okay to like not take a break and cater to other areas of your life. Like, I saw a video where Adele, the musician, was talking about how she's been in the industry for 17 years plus, but she only has like maybe 4 or 5 albums released. And she was standing strong in that. She's like, I have a kid, you know, I can be a boss on stage and in real life and in my home. And she, you know, was talking about, you know, when she got pregnant, just at the height of her career, people said all sorts of things like, oh, this is career suicide, this is this and this is that. And she, being one to always go against the norm, decided for herself that I'm going to be a mother and I'm going to do this and do it well and do it right and take the time to actually pour into that, you know? Yeah. And that does not invalidate her as a musician.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, sometimes I know for myself, I definitely get in my head of like, oh, I have to constantly be doing this or else. Where I do need to take a moment, I do need to rest and just be like, okay, Sarah, the world is not ending just yet. You'll be fine, okay? And just not, like, allow those pressures, like, especially external pressures that have become internalized to kind of, like, choke me and stifle me in a way. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And how admirable is it that someone can recognize what they need and then they just go and get it, despite what someone might say or think?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, Adele is such a great example because of the amount that she has achieved and how successful she has become. Added to that she still will pursue her own well-being outside of her career, and like that's so, to me, it's like a quality that I think everyone should, you know, eventually, I guess, arrive at, or, you know, try to work towards within themselves, just for the sake of, again, just overall well-being, for your own sake.
Yeah, 100%.
And for the quality of your life, it's also admirable to have all of these goals and these achievements to be working towards.
Mm-hmm.
But what's it all worth if at the end of the day you haven't been fed, you know, either spiritually, physically, and taking the time, taking stock of yourself and what your needs are personally.
Yeah.
Because it can still be fulfilling and gratifying to achieve, but it should also be that way when it comes to taking time away, you know, taking it the step back. And I feel like for the people who feel like they lost control of the busyness of their life and kind of feel like they're stuck in deciding what to do next or how to step away at all, it's funny, sometimes saying no helps you regain that control. Mm-hmm. Even though it's uncomfortable, even though it feels like opposite to how you're wired or whatever, sometimes just operating in the opposite spirit of that whole like hustle, let's get that grind in, mm-hmm. to just turn away from that and be like, that's taking back control as well. So just thought I should mention that.
The career part of your life is just one part. I mean, you have spirituality, you have your physical health, your mental health, you have, you know, family and friends, relationship, intimacy, whatever that looks like. You have, you know, there's so many other areas, right, of life for you to actually also be very present for you to put in the time and invest in, so that they also grow and thrive. Because if your career is up here, but like you have no friends, your family has abandoned, your health is shitty and your mental health is in the dumps, like, so what is the value in that, really?
What is the value, right? Y'all?
And it's that thing that then it becomes external, because you can show that, oh, I got money to do this and this and that. There's nothing else to kind of anchor you as a person. And that's not what I want personally. Your life is not by accident. Everything is intentional, right? Like everything is by design. You're not behind, you're not ahead, you're right exactly where you're supposed to be this point in time. And so I just have to kind of like remind myself of that a lot. Sometimes this pressure is like literally put one in a cage in a way, like put you in such a dungeon where you can't really find your way out, or if you can find your way out, you don't want to go through it because you feel like it's better here than on the other side. Right?
Well, and that's because, you know, all that is a lie. It's all fabricated to make it look like it's something that we should desire and we should want. And for the most part, yes, all those things are great. All those things in life that we want to achieve are wonderful and they're good, right? But if it's coming at the expense of your well-being, it's not worth it. And how it looks like cannot matter to you more than how you're doing, right? Like, because you could be doing the work, you know, doing the work and like having a marriage and having children, but are you doing the work? Like, are you doing the work, the internal work? Which is why I think you touched on it just, and I'll come back to it, because I think the terminology is just so important and so helpful to see it this way. But it is an investment. You are investing into your either career future, mental health future, your physical future, by taking stock of what's working, what's right, what isn't working, and then redirecting your energy towards like what, you know, what matters most to you and what long term is going to matter, you know, despite how it might look like to everyone else on the outside. Because, you know, like, no one can understand in the moment what you actually want to achieve in the future by just seeing where you're at right now. Like, it's just this tiny little snapshot of your life's story. So let's say you're trying to save up for something, a big purchase, and you cut back on all your expenses and you move into a smaller place. It's gonna look at you and think, they must be doing really, like, something happened, something like they're struggling right now. All the while, 5 years down the road, these people who made all these sacrifices, you know, in the short term so that they can have the life that they wanted long term, are living, you know, their life and doing well. And because they made those sacrifices, because they took that time to invest well in that kind of vision and what they were really working hard towards, in spite of what people might think. They are now living the life that, you know, is equal or even exceeds the lives of the others that you see you've been comparing yourself to, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just one example. To look back at the younger, the smaller version of yourself and think of how proud they would be of who you are and who you've become and how far you've come now. Yeah. And all the challenges that you've, you know, come through and overcome, and all of the adversity that you were able to, you know, succeed over, and see that little version of you cheering you on because they know how far you're about to go and that you're not just arriving at where you are now. And then even to take it a step further and look at yourself in the future, who's looking back at you now and just saying, thank you. Like, thank you for taking the time to rest, and thank you for pursuing it, what it is that you did, the sacrifices that you made in order to, you know, attain this quality of life that we have, that you have in the future. And I think the reason I think that perspective may work for some is just because we, again, have this overthinking that kind of binds us to the here and now. And then we become so self-focused and internalize everything, as opposed to just being able to let the internal stuff flow. And as it comes, just let it out and keep moving, right? Like, if it means I need to rest, it means I need to rest. If it means I'm hustling right now for a season, I'm hustling right now for a season. Yeah, just be at peace and give yourself grace through that. All of that, all those little things that come at us in life as they do.
I mean, I feel like we could talk about this for 72 more hours. Because, I know. Like, it just is so real and it's so present. Yeah. You know, it's not mm-hmm. something that happened before or will happen in the future. It's literally taking place and unfolding right. for our eyes. We're all trying to kind of build the lives of our dreams and kind of save towards and invest in ourselves in ways that are tangible and that will yield something in the future. This has been awesome. Thank you so mm-hmm. much, Sherry, for, you know, this incredible conversation that we just had, because it was in the DM and we're really like firing up, like, yeah, this is true and like this is my experience and da-da-da. And you know, like coming onto this podcast to just kind of, you know, have that conversation in a way, in a more public platform, I really appreciate you for sharing parts of yourself too as well.
Well, thank you, and honestly thank you for providing the platform. Like, honestly, I think that having these discussions help people come face to face with the fact that they are, you know, they are okay where they're at, like,
yep.
and they're not crazy for thinking what they think. Yes. And just provide some sort of reassurance. So even if that was helpful in any way for anyone listening, then we've done our job.
Yes, we've done our job. All right, Sherry, leave us with a word of wisdom, a word of advice.
I was looking forward to this part because I was like, oh, like, what will be my word of wisdom? And it actually didn't come to me until a few minutes ago. So I think what I want to share is, what you give power to will have power over you. So be careful with that. Heavy.
What you give power to will have power over you. Thank you. That was incredible. Thank you again for being with us on this episode.
Of course. Yeah, my pleasure.
Of course. We'll look forward to having you again.
Oh, of course. Anytime.
Let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
And to our listeners, thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye. See ya.